All right, we're holding on Kuftesvov on the days, first line of the wide line, three lines from the bottom. So we learned yesterday we had the case of Yitzchak Resh Galusa. The bottom line was the question, we have a report that somebody is dead with a certain name. Do we have to be concerned that maybe there's another person with the same name? So we said, Abaya said we do have to be worried about that, and he tried to bring a proof from the story of Andra Linajoy Minahada, where we said he has to check through all of Nahardah, and Rava tells him, no, if that was the issue, you wouldn't just have to check in Nahardah, you'd have to check everywhere in the world. There are shayaris, there's always people traveling from here to there, and Nahardah is a big place, so there, you'd have to be concerned that there might have been somebody of that name in Nahardah, and he left. So then you'd have to check everywhere. The fact that you don't proves that you don't have to worry about it b'chol. So Rava says, on the contrary, where do I get my opinion that you don't have to be worried about this kind of thing? So in the case of Yitzchak Resh Galusa, there's the one who we know was in Kurtava. We don't have to worry that maybe there's another one. Because we have a case. There were two shtaris that had come out in Mechoza, the shtar chayv or whatever. One said that the malveh was chavi bar nanoi, and the other one said v'nanoi bar chavi. V'agvi b'hu Rava bar Avua zuzi, and Rava bar Avua said you can collect with them. The two people who we have a chazaka who live in Mechoza, who have those names, are allowed to collect with them. Now the problem is chavi bar nanoi, v'nanoi bar chavi b'mechoza shchichitova. You have a lot of people of those names in Mechoza. That's a common, apparently in those days, chavi and nanoi were common names, and yet. You're saying that if one of them brings out a shtar chayv, we don't say maybe it came from the other guy. So we see, therefore, we don't have to worry. So what do we see? Now, the point is there, but there we know that there's a chazaka, that there's more than one chavi ba nanoi, or more than one nanoi ba chavi in Mechuzah. And yet we're saying, you're holding on to the shtar. We don't have to be concerned. Tosfos points out, the Gemara itself is going to point out in a minute, maybe one of them would have lost the shtar, but it's very unlikely that the other one, that Davka, another person of the same name, would have found it. So we can assume, therefore, that it belongs to the person who's bringing it out. So therefore, when it comes to Isser, okay, it's true, Isser v'heter is more serious than Dini Mominus. But on the other hand, if we're saying that as far as Dini Mominus, even though the fact that there's other people muchzik with that name, we're not worried about it, at least as far as Isser, we should say if we don't have a chazaka, that there's somebody else of that name, there's no reason to be choshesh. Mele, if we knew that there was another Yitzchak Resh Galusa, then we would argue, okay, maybe you can be makel by Momon, but you have to be machmer by Isser v'heter, by being matir a woman to remarry. But since there's anyway no chazaka of it, there's no basis for saying we should have to be machmir to that extent. Okay. No, it's not a perfect kal v'chomer. That's why Rashi makes the point of saying that given the inyan mamoina afagav the huchzik loy chashinan, given that we see that by dinim mominus, even with a chazaka, we're not concerned. Then by iser, at least we should. There's no reason to assume we should have to be concerned where there's no chazaka. And the Tosfos makes the same point, that Rava wants to compare Mammon with a Chazaka and Isser with a no Chazaka. Anyway, Va'abaya, what would Abaya answer to that? He would say that's different. L'may Necheshla, because after all, what are you concerned about in that case? That you're saying there's more than one Chavi Bar Nanoi in the city, and you'd have to be concerned maybe the Shtar belongs to a different one. Elon of Pilo, are you worried about that maybe he dropped Shtar? No, Mizozorebe, a Malva is usually careful with his Shtaris. Now, of course, you know, we have lots of cases. Tosfos points out, we have lots of cases in Shas above Matziah, the end of Shnayim Ochzim, as a bunch of cases involving lost shtaris that are found. What you do, but yes, people do lose their shtaris, but the chances that one chavi bar nanoi loses it and another person who happens to have the same name finds it, that's not very likely. Either pikadon, if you're going to say that the problem is that. Chavi number one might have left it as pikadon by chavi number two, and now chavi number two is claiming it's his own and using it to collect. That's not a problem. Kivin d'shmei k'shmei le'mafkid gabei adarabe, because they have the same name, chavi number one is going to be very careful not to be mafkid any such shtar with chavi number two, precisely because he doesn't want the other guy to try and claim that it's his own shtar. So what are you thinking that maybe you gave it to him but didn't make a proper kinyan? That's not a problem. Oisius Niknis Mesira. If you give somebody a shtar, that is the oisius, meaning the letters on the shtar, that itself, the fact that you handed it over to him, is machneh to him, which actually is a machloikas in Bava Basra, whether you need an actual, whether just handing him over the shtar is enough or whether you actually need a kinyan. Abaya obviously holds according to the opinion over here, that according to the opinion that just mesira is good enough, you don't need a kinyan. So there's no possibility, in other words, that Chavi number one gave it to Chavi number two in a way where he wasn't machneh, because the very fact of giving it to him is machneh. So therefore, so in that case, Abaya is saying, in that specific case, there's no reason to be choshish about somebody who also has the same name. That wouldn't necessarily apply to a matter of Issur Heter, though. You might tell another case. Havu gitta de ishtakach besura. There was a get that was found in sura, because of Behachi, and it said in it like this: besura masa ana onan barchia naharda. This was in the city of sura. I onan barchia from naharda. Torah to trachis pointis insi. I've divorced and sent away so and so my wife. Ubadka rabbanan misura vaad naharda. So the rabbanan started checking: is there, who's this onan barchia? They checked from sura till naharda. Well, I have it. Onan barchia achrina. They couldn't find another onan barchia. Levad me onan barchia mechagra. They have him in a harda. Except for there's an onan barchia who originally was from Chagra, another place, who lived in the harda. However, also Sadi v'Omer. So and witnesses came and said, "Dahu." We don't know. He's not necessarily claiming anything. In this case, and in the previous case, in the previous case with the get, the situation is that the Mefarshim explained, there's a henpik on it, meaning that there's a marking on it, there's a notation on it that it was already given in Beis Din, that it has already been given as a valid get. The woman wants it back in order to have it as a proof that she's divorced and that she can collect her silver.
A woman is claiming the
guest. Right. So they checked, they found that only this one Onan Barchia from Chagra, who lived in Nahada, but also Sadi Va'omer, and witnesses came and said, on the day when that get was written, Onan Barchia Chagra Gabon Hava, then he was by us in Nahada. Now the problem is, the get says it was written in Surah. So evidently it seems there was another one. It seems there may have been another person. So, Amar Abaya, Afladidi Damina Chayshinan, even according to me, who says in the previous case with Yitzchok Neshkalusa that we do have to be concerned there might be another person of the same name, Hacha Loi Chayshinan. But here we don't have to worry about it. Dehaka Amri Sadi de Benahada Ahava. The witnesses are saying that he was in Nahada, my boy Basura. So, what would he be doing in Surah? Given that we checked all of Nahada, and the only person of this name we found was this one, who the Edom are saying is in Naharda. So we don't have to worry that he might be. We don't have to worry that he might be the one who wrote the get, and maybe therefore he wasn't married to this woman, and therefore it's a possible get. We don't have to worry about it. We can assume that there's another. We can assume that there is that there was an Onan Barchia in Surah who was this woman's husband, and he left. So no problem.
Onan Barchia, which we do know of, was...
We say that since he was... We say... Because he's the only one they found of that name. Yeah. They only found one person of that name.
And
it's interesting.
He was the wrong one,
basically, yeah. It's kind of interesting, you know, I mean, the names Onan and Chia were somewhat common in the Gemara. We have a few of Onans and a few of Chias, but nevertheless, apparently that combination is a similar thing. Actually, in much later times, for example, when the Ksav Mesira against the Alter Rebbe first reached the Russian government in 1798 in Kharkov Nun Ches, it signed Hirsch Ben David from Vilna. And the Russians actually started checking into it to see who is this guy. And they couldn't. Now, Hirsch and Dovid are both fairly common names. They couldn't find anyone in Vilna who has that name. So you see, so sometimes, yeah, even though names are common, nevertheless, the particular combination, Pliny Ben Pliny, happens not to exist very often. Anyway. So yeah, so Abaya is saying over here, we don't have to worry then that there might be a third Onan out there. The one from Chagra who lives in Nahauda, fine, we can discount because Edom are saying he's in Nahauda and the get says Surah. We don't have to worry that maybe there are two other ones And then one that maybe there's the one who's this woman's husband and some other unknown one, and therefore we wouldn't be sure which one wrote the get, and it might be Paul. So we don't have to worry about that Abaya saying, because after all we did check into it. And we don't have to worry that it's this one because the Edom specifically are saying that he was in Nahada. Amar Rava, on the other hand, Rava says, on the other hand, I say the other way around. Even though I said in the case of Yitzchak Reish Galus, so that we don't have to worry about that there might be another one, whether there was only a Chazakah, there's one Yitzchak Reish Galus, and therefore the one who we heard about that he's dead, that must be the one. Here we do have to be concerned. Because what are you saying? You want to discount this one who lives in Naharda because the Edom say he was in Naharda? But maybe he actually traveled from Naharda to Sura or the other way around on a very fast camel. Tosfos points out that actually you might have that what would this suppose that this woman was really married to a man named Onan Bar Chiya. Now this Onan Bar Chiya from Chagra decides to play a trick on her. He decides Zavka, he's going to go impersonate her husband, go as fast as possible to Sura where they don't know him, on a gamla parcha, on a fast camel, go there, have them write a get using the name Onan Bar Chiya and have it delivered to her, and later on he'll come and say, you know what, that wasn't your husband, that was me, and now you're in trouble. It's conceivable. So therefore, Rava is saying, Adarabba, we do have to be choshes. This one who the Edom say was in Hauda, maybe he really made it to Sura really quick. Inami b'kvitza, or he might have gotten there by jumping. And Rashi says b'kvitza means kvitza derech, ha'yidei shem, by using a name of the Edish there. Other Mephoshim, I think the Meiri, says it just means running really fast. Inami mili masar, or third possibility, maybe it wasn't, he b'chlal never was in Sura. Yes, the Edom said that he was in Nahauda. He never actually made it to Sura, but he told the Edom, who are in Nahauda, go to Sura and have the get written over there. And therefore, the fact that the Edom are saying he was in Nahauda doesn't contradict the fact that the get was written in Sura. Because Kida Amalu Rav LaSafri, like we find that Rav said to the Sofrim, V'chein Amalu Rav Huna LaSafri, and so also Rav Huna in his time told the Sofrim, who are writing Gittin, or not just Gittin, but any document, Ki Isnechu B'Shili, if you are in Shili, in the name of a place, when the Shtar is being written, K'sovu B'Shili, then you have to write that it's being written in Shili, Afagav the Mimsiron Mili B'Hini, even though the instructions to give it were given in Hini. And similarly, the chiyis no behini ksevo behini. I forgot the minster and mili b'shili. Wherever you are, that's what you have to write in the. That's the name of the place that you have to write in the get or whatever shtar it is you're writing. There are rishonim actually who learn that in that case you should write both of them in the shtar. You should say specifically that the husband told them in hini to write the get in shili, or whatever. But the point is therefore that yes. Even if we know for a fact this guy lives in Nahauda, and we have Edim that placed him in Nahauda on the day of the Shtar was written, sure, he stayed home in Nahauda. He just told the Edim to go to Sura and write the get. So yes, you do have to be concerned that he's not the real Onan Bar Chiya, who is this woman's husband. It may be that he wrote it rather than her husband, and therefore we would have to be choshesh that it's a possible get. Like Tosfos is saying, he may have dafka done it in order to play a trick on her and mess things up for her. Okay, getting back to, we mentioned yesterday when we started this whole sugya, we mentioned a case of sesame seeds. We mentioned that one person had given a picadon of sesame seeds to the other. Later on, he comes to collect them, and the other guy claims, even though it's still the same container, I emptied out the container, and the sesame seeds that are in there are mine. My havi alai b'shum shumi, what's the bottom line with that matter of the sesame seeds? Rav Yema Amaloi Chashinen. So Rav Yema says, after all, there's no reason to think that maybe he emptied it out. We should assume if it's the same container, it's the same seeds. Ravina Amaloi Chashinen. Ravina says we should have to be concerned about that, and therefore the guy doesn't have a claim on them. Vehuchsa Chashinen. And that's Takah the Halacha that the Mafkid does not have a claim on them. Because, as we said yesterday, he can't necessarily claim based on the amount, because apparently Tosfos says they tended to be stored in standard amounts. The keli itself, we can assume, was emptied out. Apparently we're talking about it wasn't his keli to begin with, otherwise that's a different matter. Presumably we're talking about that it was the shomer's keli. So therefore the masjid has no recourse. Basically, yeah. Now, some of us should talk about so what are we talked about the thing of the sesame seeds, then we kind of went off topic of that and started talking about two cases of gittin, where we're not sure whether it's the same person or a different person, and now we're returning to the sesame seeds. So one thing is, I think Rashba points out and others, is that basically what the Gemara has been dealing with the whole time, and this is a continuation of the discussion that we had yesterday about the two Talmid Chachamim who drowned, where we have to figure out whether it's the same bodies or not that was found. The question is basically, do we say Kan Nimtzu Kan Hayu? If we find something in a certain place, we should assume it's the same thing that was there all along. Do we assume that about the two Talmid Chachamim? The same. Here is where the ship sank. Here is where we found the bodies. So they must be the same people. They must be the same people.
But there are a few people involved.
Apparently, these are the only two who drowned. By Yitzchak Reish Galusa, if we know that in Kurtova there was one person of that name, should we? And we got a report that he died. Should we assume that he's the only one or not? Same thing by Chavi Bar Nanoi, and same thing by each of these other cases. It all comes down to the same issue of, do we say that we assume what's there right now is what was there all along, or is there maybe reason to assume in the case of the people that it's a different person, in the case of the sesame seeds that it's different sesame seeds? So in the case of the sesame seeds, we say the halacha is that we assume they are different ones. In the case of the people, it really depends. In the case of the bodies that they got out of the water, they had a simon on them, so that's a different matter. There, it's not just you're assuming it's the same ones. There, you actually have simonim. Hello. In the case of the gittin, we don't. We say that we go according to if it's muchzak that in a certain place there's a person of a certain name, then that's it. You go according to that chazaka. You don't have to be concerned that there might be other unknown people of the same name over there. Now, the Mishnah had continued. So far we were talking about the cases from the first part of the Mishnah, which is that the husband and wife were at peace with each other, and the only issue was there was a war going on, and then we talked about in the Gemara various other possible disasters that may have happened, that where therefore she might not be sure whether her husband is actually dead or not. She might say that he's dead when really she's only relying on Bidya Dummy. She's assuming that he died, but she doesn't really have solid evidence of that. And that brought us in to the whole question about Aiden in the same way. Now, then the Mishnah continued, Kata Beinu Lebeinu V'chola, that if there was an argument between them, then it's a different matter. Then we said that we don't believe her, even if there's Shalom in the world, we don't believe her to say that her husband is dead, because she may be trying to get out of the marriage. We said before that one of the reasons why B'chlal, the Chachamim, believe a woman when she says her husband is dead is because Isha Daiko Mintzvah, she's going to be very careful not to remarry unless she knows for sure he is, because she doesn't want to suffer all the penalties. She doesn't want to suffer all the penalties we learned in the 10th parak. But over here, if she doesn't like her husband, maybe that's because she wants to. She wants to get into a situation where he'll have to divorce her. So, Hechidamik Tata Ben Levena. So what kind of argument are we talking about? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Ba'emedes Levayla Garsheni. For example, she says to her husband, divorce me. Question is that really considered such a major argument? Kulunamar Amar Hachi. Many people say that in the heat of an argument, they start yelling about divorce. But then they calm down and then everything's good. You can't say because of that she's going to go so far as because of that, therefore she's going to want to force a situation where her husband is going to have to divorce her? Nah. No, rather, it's not that she says, divorce me. She actually says to her husband, you divorced me. You gave me a get already. Question is, Velahemna. So in that case, if she claims that, why, Taka, don't we believe her? Midrav Hamnuna, we should believe her based on Rav Hamnuna's din. Dom Rav Hamnuna, Isha Sha'om Rav Baila Gerashtani Ne'emenes. If a woman says to her husband, you divorced me, then we do believe her. Chazaka Ein Isha Me'iza Paneh Ha'fnei Baila. Because it's a chazaka that a woman is not going to be so chutzpedik in the presence of her husband. Okay, I lost the get. But Usually, the fact that there is this chazaka allows us to say that yes, she must have been, he taka must have divorced her.
Eight or something.
okay, you know, you divorced me 20 years ago. You know, the Dayanim, you know, the Dayanim are long dead. The Edim of, you know, the Edim have moved to New Zealand or whatever. You know. Okay, fine, but the point still remains that we have this chazaka, and therefore the chazaka allows it to be as if we're the Edim that a get was given.
Only the ages of the husband now,
The Pashtus, we're talking about that she says it. The Pashtus, we're talking about she says it in front of Beis Din. I don't know. I mean, if Bechlal, if we're talking about that, this is the definition of Ketata, and we're saying that based on that we can't believe her, then it would be similar to we talked about before. If she herself comes and says that there was a war in the world, we have the question, you know, in that case, if she says he died, do we believe her? If we only know of the Tata based on her, then yeah, it would probably be the same kind of issue. But Pashtus, it means she says it in front of Beis Din. By the way, though, it does say in Shulchan Aruch that nowadays that people are more chutzpahdik, and not necessarily does this halacha apply. You need better evidence than that. Anyway, so the point is, therefore, that, yeah, in that case, then fine. So if afterwards she says her husband is dead, we can already believe her that she's divorced and she's mutter to remarry. Why? If she comes afterwards and says, and after making such a claim, which already we believe, we take her at her word, and later on she comes and says, you know what, my husband's dead, or my ex-husband's dead, rather, why shouldn't we believe her? Based on the first claim already, we believe that she's free to remarry. The answer is no. But Emeres Gerashtani to play Pliny or Pliny, because the case would be that she says, you divorced me, and she does mention the names of the Edim, in front of Reuven and Shimon, the Shilna, and we go and ask the Edim, and the Edim actually say, never happened. So now she's been exposed as a liar. So now the question is, do we say in that case then that maybe that which is going to be the next question the Gemara is going to discuss, why in that case so now when she says her husband is dead, we're not going to believe her. Why not? My time of the Ketata, so what's the underlying reason why we don't believe her in the case of Ketata? Rav Chanina Amar Mishum de Meshakra, because she's going to lie. She obviously hates her husband so much that she was willing to make a false claim that he divorced her when he really didn't. So by the same token, she'd be perfectly willing to lie that he's dead, even though he's not. Not even a bit dummy, which is the next explanation of the Gemara. But no, she flat out is going to want to lie, knowing that her husband is going to come back and then be forced to divorce her. Rav Shimon ba Ashi, Amar Mishum da'amar b'dudami. Whereas Rav Shimon ba Ashi says the reason why we don't believe her, maybe not, we're not necessarily going to say that she's going to flat out lie, but we're back to the problem of the dummy, that she's going to assume based on the circumstances that he's dead without checking it out thoroughly. The dummy literally means similar. That she assumes, for example, in the case of war, usually when people are missing in wartime, usually they're dead. So she assumes on that basis. So again, if she was getting along with her husband, we would say if it was peacetime, then she won't say that unless she knows for sure. But because she hates him, she wants to get away as fast as possible, and therefore she may not be careful to check out the situation. Question is, my benayu, what's the practical difference between these two reasons? The difference is ikke benayu da'agulahu ketata. The difference is that if he started the fight first. So what's the verb? If she started the fight first, we know that she really hates him. Then we would say for sure that in that case she might even be willing to go so far as to lie outright to get out of being married to him. And Tosfos points out over here that the difference is, you know, before when she claimed you divorced me and he's denying it. Fine, you know, she might be willing to do that she might be more willing to do that, even though afterwards the Edim come and contradict her. Fine, she doesn't mind being exposed as a liar. At least she's out of her marriage at the moment. Whereas in our case for you, we're talking about she actually goes and remarries based on she actually wants to go and remarry based on this Edim. At that point, maybe we don't suspect. In a normal situation, we might not think that she might be willing to go and accept all of those penalties that we said that we learned earlier. But the point is, so according to this, if she started the fight, then yes, she might even be willing to go that far. But if he started the fight, so maybe she doesn't hate him as much as it would be the other way around, and therefore.
So what happened
So we the Pashas we have Edus about it. The neighbors know, for example. So therefore, in that case, we might not have to worry that she'd lie outright, but there's still the bididummy problem, that because she doesn't like him as much as if he hadn't started the fight, therefore she might not carefully check out the situation. No, so that's the thing. We're talking about even if this Tato, then we're saying even in time of peace, we don't believe her. And certainly if it's a time of war, Now they had another question. Eid echad b'ktata mahu. What if you have only? What if it's not a matter of she's saying that there was ktata? If one aid comes and says that there was this kind of ktata, and then they went overseas not the one aid is testifying to the ktata. There was a ktata. They went overseas. She comes back, and one aid reports that her husband died. So before we were talking about where she herself says, my husband died, and we said we don't believe her because of the ktata. Now the question is, if one aide says it, do we believe her? Which is similar to the question that the Gemara had discussed yesterday about the case of Muhammad. My time of the aide echad mehemon, on the one hand, do we say that normally why we believe one aide when it comes to aiders that a woman's husband is dead? Mishum de milsa davidu leglui le meshaker, because nobody's going to lie about something that is soon going to be exposed. Well then, hachanami lemeshaker. That in that case over here, even though there was a ktata, still he's not going to want to lie. Or maybe the reason why we say one aid is believed is because in general, as we said before, she will very carefully check out the situation before she remarries. V'hacha kivin is like ktata or daiko mitzvah. Whereas over here, since you have a problem of ktata, similar to we said the problem of Melchama, where she assumes b'didami, same thing over here, because of the ktata, like daiko mitzvah, she may not be so careful to check out the situation. So what is it? And the answer is teku. So Eid Echad has a question. The difference is we said Eid Echad is believed. So Eid Echad is believed when there's shalom, when there's peace between them and peace in the world. Then yeah, even she's believed, and certainly one Eid is believed. Also, we discussed those various cases over there. For example, if the Eid says I actually buried him. So if it's wartime, we said that the Rambam holds not necessarily. If the woman herself says I buried him in wartime, even that we don't believe, and Mefarshim have a hard time understanding why the Rambam says that. One idea is because in the confusion she may have accidentally buried somebody else, thinking it's her husband. So in that case, the same thing might apply to an aide as well. But under normal circumstances, if it's not a time of war, and one aide comes and says I buried him, then that would be more acceptable. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm la olamein. Rabbi Yehuda said, we never believe her unless she actually comes into Beis Din crying and with her clothes torn, etc. And the Chachamim told him that no, there's no difference. So Tanya, Amr la olam Rabbi Yehuda. So they said to Rabbi Yehuda, Lidvarecha. I mean, according to your logic, Pikachas tinase shoyta lo tinase. According to your logic, a normal woman, a healthy woman, would be able to remarry because she knows, she understands enough of what's going on to actually be crying and tearing her clothes, etc. Where the shoyta not. Now, we learned before the different degrees of shoyta. So you can have, for example, you can have a shoyta who normally walks around in torn clothing. One of the definitions is that we learned of a shoyta in Chagiga is a person named shoyta ma'abed kol mashenosim. So like, you know, they'll regularly walk around looking like a schlump in torn clothing or whatever. So by that logic, then, but nevertheless, she still has enough mental capacity to understand what it means that her husband is dead. If there was Eidos that her husband was dead, there's no question we'd allow her to remarry. So you're telling us because she comes and she doesn't specifically have her clothes torn because of her husband, she just has them torn because that's the way she walks around all the time. You're saying you wouldn't believe her? Obviously not. No, we're talking about herself. Yeah. So again, we're talking about she's a shaita to the extent that she walks around in torn clothes, for example. Or maybe that we're saying also that she's not crying. Maybe she's autistic or something. So she doesn't feel the same kind of emotions as regular people do. But nevertheless, you know, she's capable of giving aidus and based in that my husband died. No reason you shouldn't believe her. Ela achasu v'achasu tinasi. So no, there's no question. Either way, she should be able to remarry. other Mefarshim say, by the way, there's different Mefarshim what we mean over here by Pikachas and Shoita. One is the way I just explained it. The other explanation is that no, what the Gemara really means is that Pikachas doesn't, Shoita over here doesn't mean the normal definition of Shoita. Just means, in other words, Pikachas like a woman who is devious. Versus a posh term, versus a posh, a person. A woman who's devious might, too smart for her own good, like. So she might, you know, I have eders that the Beis Din may not be willing to accept, that may not be strong enough for them to say that my husband is dead, but if I put on a nice act, you know, then they'll believe it. Whereas then you have a more tzmimistic person who doesn't, and what, she's going to lose out because of that. And so no reason to make that distinction. So the Gemara tells, "Ahi da'afki le-Beit Din de-Rabbi Yehuda." There was a woman who once came to the Beit Din of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, according to the Girsa we have here, Rabbi Yehuda, then this is the same Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, from our Mishnah. So he held according to his own Shitta, obviously. On the side here, it says it's supposed to be the Rav, which would be Rav Yehuda the Amora. So then we would have to say he held according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. Anyway, Amri law, people told her, Sifti Bailech, cry for your husband, Kiri Monayach, tear your clothes, Sastri Mazich, undo your hair, all simonim of Avelus, in order that he'll believe you that your husband's dead. The question is, what the Gemara asked Alfur Shikra? So what are they teaching her to lie? If Rabbi Yehuda holds, whichever Rabbi Yehuda it is, if he holds that you only believe her if she cries, why are they telling her to put on an act if she doesn't really believe it? If she wasn't gonna on her own? No, the answer is Inu Kurabanan Svirulahu, the ones who gave her this advice held like the Rabbanan. Which you don't need the acting, you don't need the crying and whatever. But for the sake of, since you're going in front of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you do, Amri, so they said, Tavid Hachikeri Delishri. In that case, she should do that in order that he should be matir. In other words, basically what they were saying is, he shouldn't really be going according to a Das Yachid, he should be going according to the Chachamim, so by rights, even without the crying and whatnot, she should be able to be married. He wants to be Machmir, then fine, let's work around his Chumrah. And there are Mepharshim actually who say on that, it's brought in various Shailos HaTshuvos, that we see from that yes, when you have a situation where it's necessary in order for the halacha to come out right, then yes, you bend the facts a little bit in order to make sure that it gets passed in correctly. Now, so the previous Mishnah had started talking about the case that the woman went with her husband to Medinas Hayam. Now, are we talking about, so what, does everybody agree to that? What about, does it is it good enough if it was in Medinas Hayam? Maybe not. Maybe we should argue that only if it's in the same area, then we would say she's afraid to lie because pretty soon her husband will come back. Whereas if it's in Medinas Hayam, maybe there'd be more reason to argue we shouldn't believe her. Maybe she has more of an incentive to lie in that case, because who says he's ever going to come back? That's our Mishnah. It's actually Machlokes. Mishilul Omrim, Lo Shemayinu El Rabba Min HaKatzir. We have not heard from our Rebbeim that we should accept her eders. El Rabba Min HaKatzir, only if she's coming back from the harvest. Over Oysim Adina, and they're in the same country. Uchamaisa Shahoye, exactly like the Maisa that happened. It once happened, in other words, as the Gemara is going to say, that a woman and her husband and several other people went to harvest grain, and her husband died over there, and she came back and said he was dead. So the Basil says, in that case, if that was the situation, it happened in the time of the harvest, and it was in the same country, then that's how the din is. She can only be believed if it's under the same circumstances. We can't generalize that to say that it's the same thing if they go on a cruise.
So it depends where it happened, how it happened.
Where it happened and how it happened, yeah. Amr Lam Beth Shammai, so Beth Shammai says to them, no, I mean, there's certainly not a difference between what was being harvested. Achas Abom and Akotzer, Achas Abom and Azesim, Achas Abom and Abotzer. There's no difference whether they were coming from the harvest or from picking grapes or from olives or from harvesting grapes. So obviously, in other words, they're saying to Basilo, you want to say that the din only applies if they're coming back from the harvest? From the grain harvest, there's no logical reason to distinguish between that and some other kind of harvest, let's say. So by the same token, the same thing, there's no difference whether you're in the same country or whether you're going from one country to another. Either way, So why did the Chachamim talk about a case involving the Katsir, involving the harvest? Because that's a normal situation. Is that a husband and wife go to do that, and then the husband meets with an accident over there? So Tosfos points out, based on a Yerushalmi, that actually Beit Hillel would say that yes, there is a difference between the grain harvest and anything else. The grain harvest is a very hot time; the sun is beating overhead. He could have died of sunstroke, or that it's a time when snakes and other venomous creatures are out and about more. But in the Mishnah, Beit Shammai is saying that come on, you can't make such distinctions. I mean, even during other times of harvest, the grape harvest also, the sun is beating down, for example. Other times also, there can be dangerous creatures around. So the same way as the same, yes, maybe it's more likely to happen during the grain harvest, but it could just as well happen during any other kind of harvest. The same thing, it could happen in the same country, it could happen in a different country. And Chazru Beit Hillel l'Horus k'Beit Shammai. So Beit Hillel ended up changing their mind and agreeing with Beit Shammai. It's one of the few cases. This Mishnah is also an atheist because this is one of like four or five cases where that happened. We had one earlier in the Masechta also about the matter of Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chorin, where Hillel originally argued that somebody was half free and half slave. He takes turns. One day every other day he works for himself, and every day in between he works for his master. Beit Shammai argues with them that no, because how is what's in the period of Rivi? He can't marry a free woman. He can't marry a slave woman. And Beit Shammai argued that rather, and Beit Hillel ended up agreeing with Beit Shammai. There's a few cases like that where Beit Shammai ended up proving to Beit Hillel that you're wrong and the halacha should be like us. So Gemara says, Tanya, Amr lehem Beit Shammai le Beit Hillel, l'divrei chem, according to your logic, and the Elkatir Chitim. If the original story happened at the wheat harvest, so maybe you're going to say that din only applies by the wheat harvest. Ksir sa'odim minayin, how would you say it applies if they went to harvest barley? Ve'en the Elkatir, and even if you're going to say, fine, wheat and barley maybe are the same thing, but ein the Elkatir, what about, you're saying only harvesting grain. Boitzer, what about if you're harvesting grapes? Moisik, or harvesting olives. Goyder, which is harvesting dates. Oyder, or harvesting figs. Each kind of harvest had a different name they used for it. Minayin, where would you get that from? And according to you, even according to you, there's no logical reason to distinguish between one and the other. Elamaisa shahaya b'katzu. But no, the original case when the Chachamim made this takana happened in a case of the wheat harvest. Well, what didn't the cooler? And the same thing would apply to any other kind of harvest. Hachanami, same thing over here. When it comes to one country versus another, Maisa Shalya Baisa Medina Vuadin Lakulu. Yes, it so happened that din, they were both in the same country where they lived, but the same thing would apply if they went to a different country. Or Beis Hillel, so okay, what does Beis Hillel answer to that? They say the difference is Baisa Medina Deshchinshi Inshi Mirtas. Because the difference is in that same country there are many other people. So even if the husband himself, for whatever reason, never comes back, there's enough other people who know them and who are traveling from one place to another, Shayoras Mitsuyas, that therefore there's more. She might be afraid to lie and say that her husband died when he really didn't, because inevitably people are going to come and say, you know what, we saw this, you know, we saw this guy a month later. Whereas from one country to another, it's not that common. If people come from one place to another, Loi Mirtas, she might not be so afraid to lie. But in the end, Beit Shammai ended up agreeing with Beit Hillel ended up agreeing with Beit Shammai anyway, because Beit Shammai answered to that. Hachanami shchichi shayauta, because even from one country to another, it is common enough. There are caravans going. That people do travel enough from one place to another. That yeah, there is a certain amount of communication, and therefore she would be afraid just as much to lie and say that he died overseas, because she might be found out as a liar. My Maisa Shahaya. So what's the actual case that Beit Hillel is referring to involving the harvest? It was one time, it was the end of the wheat harvest. 10 people had gone to harvest the wheat. One of them was bitten by a snake and died. His wife went and informed Beistin. And they went and sent messengers and found out that sure enough it was like she'd said. At that point, they said, that's when they made the takana from the first Mishnah of our Perek, that if the woman herself says that my husband died, we allow her to remarry or to do Yibum. And before she explained, the vote was, here we had, why didn't the Chachamim feel the need for that up until that time? Because they said, you know, up until then, they figured, you know what, when a person dies, usually there are people around. You know, wait till real Adam come. One Adam, at least. Why are you relying on the woman herself, who's in a Gabadaver? Here they see, though, 10 people went to do the harvest, and still not one of them is able to come and give Adus. Maybe they were all working in different parts of the fields. They didn't see each other. Who knows? Whatever it was, she's the only one who knows. So therefore, the Chachamim realized that in order to prevent, the Tosfos points out, that in order to prevent a matter of a situation of agunas, you're going to have it. It's going to end up becoming a very common problem of igun, where women are going to be left agunas if you don't accept this kind of edus. So therefore, they said, "Fine."
Very, you have to keep learning, you know.
If they have witnesses, then adra. But what we're saying, the point is, in other words, here, even though there were many people over there, she's the only one who actually saw him die and went and went to tell Beis Din.
And didn't believe her.
Well, they right. So they had to send people to check, right? Because at that time, the Takana didn't exist yet. Once they corroborated what she said, then they realized, you know what? If we don't accept her word in the future, we're going to have a lot of cases of igun. We don't want that. The Bach, by the way, has an expression in one of his Trubas, I think, that anybody who works on being matir and aguna, it's as if he's rebuilding one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. We find a large part. If you look at any sefer of Shilas HaTrubas, a big chunk of the Shilas HaTrubas will be on issues of agunas, because the Chacham throughout all the generations have always tried to find ways to work within halacha to be matter them. So here we have an example where they, even though usually before that we wouldn't have said we rely on the woman, we would have needed at least one aid, maybe even two. But now, because in order to prevent igun, we accept her aid and we rely on Isha Daiko Mitzvah. And Isha Daiko Mitzvah, that the woman will check out the situation carefully and not just go get remarried willy-nilly, because there are all those penalties if she does. The Gemara asks, what do we just say? We said that Bishama and Bishilil essentially are arguing on when the Chachamim make a takana in response to a certain situation, do they make the takana only to apply to that identical kind of situation? Or do they broaden it to similar cases? Like here, Bishilil is arguing that it only applies to the harvest and only Ba'us and Medina, whereas Bishama is saying you can generalize from the harvest to any situation, and you can harvest from that same country to any other country. So I'm going to ask, Neymar, Rav Hanani ben Akavya, Rav Rabbanan, plugged to the Bishama Basilo Kamiflagi. In that case, should we say that Rav Hanani ben Akavya and ben Akiva and the Rabbanan are arguing on the same machalukas of Bishama Basilo? And they're later than Bishama Basilo. Why would they be re-arguing the same argument, especially if Basilo ended up agreeing to Bishama? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, we learn this at the end of Chagiga. A person is not allowed to carry water of paradruma water, the water that's been drawn for mixing with the paradruma ashes, or the ashes of the chatas of the paradruma. V'yavirim b'yardin of a svina, and take him across the yardin on a boat or on a boat. Why? We'll say at the end of the sugya why. You can't stand on one side of the river and throw it to the other side. You can't float it across on the water. You can't carry them riding on an animal through the water, whether on an animal or piggyback on somebody else's back. Unless your own feet are touching the ground. Basically, what it is, basically it's shallow water. Basically, the idea is, given that the case, as the Gemara is going to say at the end of the sugya over here, the original case that the Chachamim made the takana on had to do with a boat going in the water, then any case, any way of carrying it which is similar to the way a boat goes in the water becomes also. Now, how does a boat go in the water? It doesn't touch the ground, doesn't touch the riverbed. It goes, floats in the water. That's why floating is also. That's why throwing it across over the surface of the water is also. Riding on an animal through the water, all those kinds of things are similar to a ship. But you can take him across on a bridge, because on a bridge you're walking on the ground yourself. It's not similar to a boat. And echad yarden veechad shanaharis. This applies both to the yarden and to any other river. That's the Tanakama. Rav Hanani ben Akiva omer lo omer ele yarden uvesfina uchamayis ashaya. Whereas Rav Hanani ben Akavya says no, only the yarden, only a boat, exactly like the original situation. So according to him, you would be allowed to throw it across or ride across on an animal or whatever. The fact is, that's not a boat. So, Lema, so not Lema. So, yeah, Lema Rabbanan da Amru Kibbis Shammai, Rabbanan Ben Akiva, da Amru Kibbis Hillel. So it seems that Rabbanan hold like with Shammai, that we broaden the Isser to other similar cases, whereas Rabbanan Ben Akiva is saying like with Hillel, that we go according exactly according to the original case. The answer is no. Amri Lach Rabbanan, Anan da Amru Nafilu Kibbis Hillel, Af Kibbis Hillel. No. We could even be holding like this Hillel, because Ad Kan Lakom Bishillel Hasim Elam Shem Demirsis. Because what is Bishillel saying? The reason why we want to distinguish between this country and a different one as far as Eidus Isha, because we said before that she figures in the same country, there's more reason for her to be nervous about lying. She might more easily be found out when people pass by, when people come from one place to another. Whereas in another Medina, there's less of an issue. B'makom karav mirtas, b'makom rachok le mirtas. So in a nearby place, she'll be afraid to lie and say that her husband's dead when he's really not. Whereas in a further away place, she may not be so afraid. Hacham aliyarden, mali shana horis. Whereas over here, even Bezalel would agree. There's obviously no difference between the Yarden and any other river. As the case is going to be, the case is going to be, the Gemara is going to explain that they found that one time they were going in a boat, and they found afterwards there was a piece of a dead body stuck in the keel of the boat, in the bottom of the boat. No reason to think that would be any different in the Yarden or any other river. So even Bessila, what would we, if the Chachamim made the Takana, about the Chachamim would say over here in this case, the part of Adruma, if you made the Takana that you're not allowed to go on a boat across the Yarden, then yes, it applies equally well to any other river. Because the idea is the same. It's Rav Hanani ben Akavya Amalach, and conversely, Rav Hanani ben Akavya could tell you, Ano da Amri Afla Bishamai. No, when I'm saying my din, I could even be going according to Bishamai. Ad Kan Lakama Bishamai Hosam, Elamishim Di Daiko Minzva. Because why is Bishamai saying we can accept her ages? Even though she might figure I can get away with lying, because she's not. The Isha Daiko Minzva, because she's going to be very, very careful and check out the situation thoroughly before she remarries. Therefore, Mali Makam Karav, Mali Makam Rachak. So therefore, there's no difference in that, whether it's close or further away. Either way, she's going to be very careful because she doesn't want to suffer the penalties if her husband does show back up. Haha, Mishum Maisa Shahaya. Whereas over here, it's an actual situation that happened, not based on what might happen, but based on an actual situation that occurred. Therefore, the Yarden of a Spinner, to have a Maisa Gozer Rabbanon, so only in the Yarden and only on a boat where the actual thing happened, only there where the Rabbanon makes a Gzera. Vishan Naharis, to have a Maisa Gozer Rabbanon, whereas in other rivers, this didn't happen over there, so therefore the Rabbanon didn't make a Gzera. My Maisa Shahaya, what was the actual case that they made the Gzera? Dhammer of Yehoda Amarav, Maisa Ba'odim Shoye Maiva Mechatas Ve'efechatas Ba'yarden of a Spinner. One time a person was carrying Mechatas and the water and the ashes, they hadn't been mixed together yet, apparently. He was carrying them across the Yarden in a boat. And later on, they found that a kazayis of a dead body, which is enough to be metame of oil, was stuck into the bottom of the boat, into the keel of the boat. It's metame of oil, yeah. So anything that overshadowed it becomes tame. Since the boat is built like this, so effectively any almost any part of the boat is directly above the karkoris shel sfina. Karkoris literally means the bottom of the boat, the keel, the pointy part on the bottom. Yeah. So therefore everything became tummy. But Oisa Shah Amru, at that point, the Chachamim made a Gzera, Lo Yisa Adam Mechatas Veifachatas V'Yavirim V'Yadun of a Spina. So that's when they made the Takana, that you can't do this. You can't take it across the Yavdin in a boat, and then that's when we have the Machalikas, whether it applies only to the Yavdin or other rivers, and does it apply only to boats or other ways of crossing the river as well. Well, it's a Machalikas Tanaim. The halacha is like the Tanakama. But that was the point. We assumed that the Tanakama was holding like the Shammai. And not necessarily does that create a problem, because in our Mishnah also the halachas like Bishamai, but still, why would Rav Hanina ben Akavya and the Tanakhama be re-arguing the same argument whether we apply a Gzeira more broadly or not? And the answer is it's not. It's two different cases. Mishnah says, another machloek is on this subject. So Beshama is saying that when the woman comes to Beis Din and says, my husband has died, not only she can remarry, but she can collect her ksuba. Beis Hillel says she can remarry, sure, but we don't have to allow her to get her ksuba, to collect her ksuba until there's more solid evidence that he's dead. What are you talking about? He attacked him erva chamura. You're being mapped to a more serious case of erva. You're allowing her to remarry, even though until now she was known to be an ashes nish. But then not to mom and akal. How could we not be mapped to money, which is a more lenient thing? No problem. We do find that the brothers don't go to inherit based on her. In other words, even though the chachamim would make over here mishum igun, that in order that she shouldn't be left in Aguna, that will accept one aid or will accept her own aiders, but there's no question that his heirs, whoever they are, his brothers or his children, if there are children or whatever, are not going to inherit it unless there's actual aiders. Afishai made him Yachim Dover, as usual. And yet they're making an Igun, so yes, you have a case where Dini Momin is somewhere more stringent. Amalahem Beshamai. Okay, fair enough, but Ba'alim is safe for Ksuba Nilmud. Shouldn't we look at what it actually says in the Ksuba? Shul Kosev Law, he writes there in the Ksuba, She'im Tinasi La'acher, if you marry somebody else after I die or after I divorce you, Titli Masha Kosev Lichi, then you're entitled to take what's written here in the Ksuba for you. So yes, you want to argue maybe that the brothers or whoever are not able to inherit it because you need two aidim. Fine, but there is a specific stipulation over here that exempts her from that says that once she's allowed to be married, she's allowed to get the ksuba. And sure enough, Chazur Basilah heard his kediva b'shamay. This is another case where Basilah changed their mind and agreed with b'shamay. And the Gemara points out, Amr of Chistin, this Yadma. So we're saying that according to b'shamay, she's entitled to collect her ksuba, but everybody is agreeing. We're saying that the heirs can't inherit his property. But Rav Chista says, Nisyabma, if she does Yibum, Yuvama nichnas anachla alpia, then the Yuvama is able to inherit the property. Why? Heim darshim midrash ksuba. We see that Beshamai is darshining the words of the ksuba, which not necessarily is this phrase that we said in the ksuba, that we quoted in the Mishnah, not necessarily is a part of the takana that the Chachamim made to write in the ksuba. This is one of those kinds of lashonis that people themselves came up, it's called Loshon Hedyot, that people on their own came up to write in a ksuba. And yet they're darshining and learning a din from it. On Anan lo nidrash midrash Torah. So how much more so? We should darshan what it says in the actual pasuk. Yakum Hashem Achiv Ramachmana. The Torah says that the Yavam should stand up in the place of on the name of his brother. Bahare come, and he's indeed stood up in his name. He has done Yibum. Therefore, in that case, even everybody would agree that he's entitled to the property, and that's Tachad Halacha. And then we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with the question. We're saying the Mishnah that she just said she came and said my husband's dead. Therefore, and now she wants to do two things, remarry and collect her ksuba. What if she's specifically mentioning the ksuba? Does that change anything? If she specifically comes to Beis Din and says, I'd like to collect my ksuba, my husband's dead, I'd like to collect my ksuba. Is that any different than the previous case? So we'll talk about that tomorrow. So the Mishnah had said that we believe her to remarry, and according to Beis Shammai, and this is halacha, we even believe her to collect her ksuba. But what about if she Bedavka comes and says, I want to collect my ksuba, maybe then something fishy is going on over here. So that, yeah, we may be after the money or whatever, so that we'll talk about tomorrow.